All right, technical difficulties here, folks. Kind of forgot that I was supposed to have a show going this evening until about 20 seconds ago, so my apologies. We'll be getting things up and rolling here in just a minute. In the meantime, let me get myself logged in here. Go. Okay, I'm bringing Female Sate on the air, and then I'm going to go ahead and just roll the intro while I get myself situated.
I'm having an internal debate over what's going on at Sin because I created the thread that the troll's on. I'm tempted to delete it to take its food away.
The one that's working on right now?
Yeah, no, that's my thread. I can delete it. Yeah.
Absolutely not. Do not do that. Do not. I mean, here's the thing.
Well,
whoever the person is that's posting, and I pretty much have a good idea of who it is. They're really showing their ass right now, and that kind of thing needs to be kept permanently on record. So that's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, that's why I haven't deleted it yet, is because I was like, well, you know, at this point it's just, it makes, yeah, you know, like who wins and who loses in that thread, you know, it just looks so bad. I'm just like, oh, man.
I mean, you pretty much got to let things like that just kind of hang the way they are. I mean, nothing that's being said there is, I don't know, so detrimental to anybody's character other than the person saying it that it really should mean shit.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm trying to be less dramatic, Beast. I'm trying really hard. It's not working out for me, but I'm really making an attempt to, you know, rise above that stuff. It's like, it's my New Year's resolution, basically, is that I pop off the mouth too much, so I'm going to not do that.
Well, just remember that drama has its place in life, and it, in some ways it's a useful tool that we as people can use to grow and develop ourselves and understand our worldview for what it really is. And so, most people, when they talk about drama, they talk about it in a really negative fashion. It kind of bothers me because true drama always teaches us something about the human condition. I mean, look at Shakespeare's plays. I mean, all of them were just pure drama, self-generated drama. But there's so much to understand about what it is to be human through that drama.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah, no, I definitely agree. And my more dramatic incidents in life have definitely taught me things, you know, whether it was, you know, somebody else just going ballistic on me or for no reason, or me acting like a fool either way. I've always learned something from them. So it's kind of, you know, I'm trying to mediate the two. I don't know. Trying to change my approach a little bit, you know. My actually, it's my husband. It was really funny because I was he was reading one of the threads and he said, "Dang, pull the claws in." I said, "I was joking." He looked at me. He said, "This is why we fight." That's you joking. He said, "That just sounds mean."
Well, I mean, it is what it is, and the
yeah.
one thing that I think most people, when they're doing the work, and you are doing the work, at least
uh-huh.
what I mean by the work, they often tend to think that just because they made a minor mistake that it's more drastic than what it really is. And you are more on the right course than you are probably aware.
Oh no, I'm aware of that. I've already had, you know, my somebody PM'd me, and I'm gonna keep them anonymous. But actually, what they said was really, really, really sweet. Which what the person said was, he said, "I just think that you need to slow down and take a break for a minute." He said, "I just think that you need to sit back and reflect and think." And you know, like we were talking about, he was like, you know, you took the ball running, and you've gone so far in such a small amount of time. He said, "You've had so much dramatic change in 12 months." He said, "Just, you know, take a breath and see where you're at before you, you know, start up again."
Yeah, I think that that's great advice. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I've got to say, one of the most curious things about nature is that it gave us two ears, two eyes, and only one mouth, which in my mind means that we should listen and watch more than we're actually talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, well, no, exactly. That's why I'm trying to, you know, take a breath and actually, like, you know, I don't know, judge things on... I have a tendency to react emotionally to things I shouldn't, you know, or I'll have trouble sometimes logically ascertaining, you know, what's going on because I tend to react emotionally to things I shouldn't. So, like, that's why like, my resolution is to sort of, you know, step back and take a breath and be a little bit more objective and quit, you know, letting my emotions control me so much. And, yeah, you know, it's like you said, too, you know, I'm so, so hard on myself, you know, mentally, which is like when it comes to other people, I don't expect perfection. But when it comes to myself, I am a bit of a perfectionist and I do take myself apart quite a bit. And I do think that's one of the things that's going on is that it's a minor mistake and it's blown up more in my head than it needs to be, which is part of why I'm taking a breather because I need to sort of assess it from a more objective point of view.
Right. Well, let me confirm that and actually tell you that you're not alone. I'll start with myself, which is the easiest thing for me to compare to. I just finished day three of training to become a cosmetic tattoo artist. I'm not just going to learn how to do pretty little pictures on people's bodies. I'm going to learn to physically change people's appearances as well, permanently. You know, eyeliner, lipstick, eyebrows, tattoo removal, you know, different techniques for making older skin look younger. These are all things that I'm studying. In all of my... I'm going to call it a working career, but I'm going to include any schooling that I've done as well. I have never been told the thing that I was told today. And what it was my instructor, he came around the corner, and he was very excited because I myself have mastered a technique in drawing lines that he teaches that most people don't get within the first week that they're tattooing. And I've already done that in the first 2.5 days that I was there. I've mastered this technique. But I was getting a little frustrated because I couldn't get this perfect consistency going with my lines. Like sometimes that line would come out perfect. It would come out to where you would think that somebody took a pen and drew the line. It was just so smooth and consistent all the way across. And other times it would be really choppy, and I didn't understand because I was doing everything the same. And he says to me, and this is the thing that he says that really struck me, he said, your problem is this. You're pushing yourself and pushing yourself and pushing yourself and criticizing yourself and pushing yourself. He said, instead of sitting there worrying about what you're doing wrong with these lines, you should be taking more cigarette breaks. And I looked at him and I was like, what? He's like, you should be taking more cigarette breaks. You need to do a couple of lines, walk around, talk to people, smoke a cigarette, come back, do a couple more lines. You are going way, way too hard at this. And it's not that your work isn't excellent, because it is. It's way above average. But what's going on here is that you're psyching yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the results of my own level of self-criticalness, my own level of perfectionist, that same thing that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also want to point out that Jason King, someone who I honestly, despite the little butthurt fits he gets into every once in a while, I really respect him as an intellect. And what's most interesting about him is that he's a self-described cynic when it comes to himself. He is very hard on himself. He will reread a post that he puts up 1,500 times before he actually puts it up. And his work is brilliant. It's consistent. It's logical. It's well articulated, it's well described, it's communicative, it's creative, it's all of the things that are inspiring in the human language. So if you find yourself with that problem of being too self-critical, you have to, I guess, take that hand in hand with the fact that genius is born from that.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, yeah, no, I'm the same way. I'm obsessive enough that like I'll go back, like if I have free time, and go and reread a thread I was active on, and I have even taken notes on where I think that I feel that my argument personally failed and how I could improve on it, and like it's when I didn't have a computer, it was so hard on me because of that. Because, like, yeah, no, I want everything to be perfect when I put it up. And it's so ridiculous, too, because it's, you know, and I'll be like, oh, I know why I didn't explain that right. No, you know. Okay, well, now I see what caused that, you know, or whatever. And the thing that bothers me personally about it is that I think that in a way it actually attacks an individual's self-esteem in a way, is that, you know, sometimes I think you just have to let it go and go, like your teacher was saying today, you know, you have to let it go because, you know, you have to step back just a little bit and go, it's okay, you know, to fuck up because you're human. You're going to, and it's okay. But the problem is actually being able to do that and, you know, keep going.
Right. Well, I mean, that's really honestly, that's a trick in itself. The one thing that I would point to is that when other people work so hard to try to knock your self-esteem down, it's because they already see themselves below you. And it's something that they're right in mind with how human beings are. You know, you don't, you don't see people like, and I'm going to bring my friend Neil Jansen up, which if you have never heard of him before or don't know who he is, I would check out, I think it's either episode 3 or episode 4 of The Ooze. He's referred to as the Puck on that. But Neil Jansen is insanely brilliant, and I mean both literally. He's insane and brilliant. But to get to the point of all of what I'm saying, you don't see him running around trying to knock other people's self-image down because, well, he's already looking down at them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing too is, I've always felt that, you know, it's like you'll see people who are, that a lot of their philosophical grounding lies in, and so I put this right, like, my stuff is better than yours, and it's primarily a negative view. It's like, you know, like, and like, I the best incident that I've ever seen happen of it, because I'm not actually going to do what Satanists do, because we all know they bash Christians to sort of build up their own paradigm, but I was in a Wiccan shop, and I was talking to some guys, like some New Age shop. This guy went on a 45-minute rant about Christianity and why he was Wiccan, except the entire basis for why he was Wiccan, from what I understood from the 45-minute rant, was everything that was wrong with Christianity. And I mean, I remember it because me and my husband were dating at the time. We got in the car and we left. I said to him, I feel so sorry for that guy. And he said, what do you mean? I said, his entire thing is based on how he hates this other group. I said, that just to me seems like a weak way to base how you view the world. You know, and that's something even that applies to other people, is that, you know, you can't, your self-esteem can't be based on tearing other people down. It has to be based on, you know, a much different thing, in my opinion.
Right. Well, he who builds his house upon the sand is always sorry when the storm rolls in.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's really pretty much all of that's what's going on, is somebody's trying to build their house on top of sand.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
That, I guess, is
a
dual reference. It's a dual reference to sand in the vagina, or kicking sand in somebody's eyes.
I'm definitely I'm sort of floored, especially with what's going on, because like I really, you know, like I actually miss most of what's going on, because I really just don't pay much attention, you know, and like I really wasn't following along like as actively as I should with like the blogs and stuff, and like I'll look back on it now, like after all this has happened, I'm like, this is so obvious. I can't believe you didn't see this. As what I was saying earlier is like, you know, whoever it is keeps posting this thread over at 600 Club, and I went on the thread and I was like, have you ever seen a movie where somebody slaps somebody because they're acting like an idiot? I sort of view that thread as that, no more, no less. Is that, you know, it was like somebody walked up and was like, wham, you know, shut up and listen for 5 seconds. You know, and that's basically how I view it. And it actually, like, as soon as that happened, it was kind of like, you know, just like in a movie, like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I see exactly what you mean now, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, mm-hmm. the thing about other people, whether they're intelligent or ignorant or somewhere happily in between all of that, is that whether they're smart or stupid, they always have something to offer for you to learn from. I mean, I can't remember the name of the guy, but in eighth grade, there was this guy who got transferred from another school to our school, and he decided he was going to try to make a name for himself, and he was picking on this skinny kid named Carlos Lopez. And Carlos just turned around and knocked him the fuck out. One punch. You would have never expected that kind of thing from him. But, you know, all of us there at the school, we were already sort of aware that that was one person that you didn't want to push over the edge. He was already so tightly wired. I'm not sure how that gets back to my original point, but I know it does. So it's in there somewhere.
Oh, no, yeah. It's been a... Oh, yeah, I was going to... if we could shift gears a bit, I was going to... I listened to Sunday's show, and I really thought that the way y'all summed up the year was very, very interesting. You know, I remember, I think it was like y'all said it was the year of praxis. I really liked that. I thought that... I don't know. When I first started at SIN, and I've been there a little over a year now, you know, since I sort of poked my head up on the internet. And when I first started, it was philosophy, and that was deep into the forums. And it's very, very interesting how things have changed over the course of this past year.
Right. You've moved away from the philosophy? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, that's the thing, is that I think that the thing that I find interesting is that I think that even when people were still saying it was a philosophy, it still had that basis in praxis. But in addition to that, I really like the addition of, you know, this whole idea of, you know, going out and doing it and living it. That's something that I think is a big change, you know, at least with a how it's presented, which, you know, like, for better or worse, I mean, like, I know that Satanism happens in real life, but its public face is on the internet, for better or worse.
Right. Right. Absolutely. I mean, and unfortunately, that kind of comes down to, well, exactly what's going on right now. People want to be able to have an excuse to pop onto some place and act like a cocky anonymous jackass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one who has nothing, well, at least they think there's nothing on them that, you know, it kind of gives them this feeling of invulnerability. They can come out and be, you know, super cool, Lord Sith, you know, whatever, the third grand magistrate, and they can attack people who are trying to be real and with nothing to, you know, with nothing to put them down. But anybody who has any sort of real to them, and I use real in all caps, anybody who has that kind of real in them can look at it and see it for what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, that doesn't make everything that particular person might be describing or doing wrong or incorrect. It just, you know, it makes it easier to pick out their bullshit when they're spreading it. So.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I've certainly had my moments, like, you know, I mean, I think that everybody postures a little bit, you know, like, and I don't think that anybody really means to, you know, like, I went back and read something later. I'm like, what are you saying here? What are you doing? But, you know, at the end of the day, there is still, you know, there are people where there's a very realness. And there's some people that honestly, at least for me on the internet, I know them. And I know them fairly well because, like, you know, I've talked to them. I've dealt with them on a regular basis. And at least to me, it's like, you know, I know that, you know, like, if I'm reading something that somebody wrote, like, I also know that, you know, they are obsessed with burritos. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, so, you know, it does change, you know, the way that I think that these things sort of play out. And if you're just an anonymous person, at some point, I think people are going to turn around and say, you know, hey, I don't know anything about you, and, you know, I really should, especially if you're going to be walking around pretending to be a thought leader, I should know a few fundamental basics. And when those move constantly, it becomes quite evident that, you know, you're dealing with somebody who is just playing on the internet.
Right. Right on. So, I mean, that's the thing, though, is that some people have this mentality that they're just playing on the internet. Other people come here to exchange in a real manner. And that becomes the great divide. And it's not one that necessarily needs correcting. It's just one that needs to be recognized. That there is this great divide. There are people who come to be genuine and engage in genuine rhetoric, and there are people who sign on for the sole purpose of feeling special, of polishing up their little super Satanist badge or super sinister Satanist badge, whatever you want to say, and try to look hard.
Yeah.
And it becomes very obvious who they are. I mean, one of the things that's actually kind of being put into question right now, and it's sort of cracking me up, and I'm refraining from responding to it there on the thread, is the questioning of Diavolo, which just going off of, and I've never seen the dude, all I've ever done is interact with him through text, but just going off of the interactions that I've had with him, I can say that if it's some kind of a dupe or a ploy, it's a goddamn good one, because he's got me fooled, and I'm a super excellent judge of character. I really am. It doesn't mean that I haven't made
mistakes. Anytime I've dealt with Diavolo, he's been nothing but, first off, he's super polite and respectful. I mean, like, you know, and like, I wound up over at my Satan with him one day and chat, and we had a pretty long talk, actually, just sort of one-on-one. And I mean, it's like you said, like, you know, it is the world's best dupe, if it is, because the guy seems more real than, you know, most people who, you know, cam up and post their pics and everything else.
Right. It's just, I don't know, it's a malfunction of the human brain. And I really hope that it passes. I mean, I lost an incredible amount of respect for whoever this anonymous person is that's posting as Chloe or Kayla, persons, whatever. Chloe, Kayla, Sugar Cubes, whatever. I lost an enormous amount of respect for them because they were always treading a fine line between propagating for the sake of attention and just trolling for the pointless nature of trolling. And they crossed that line, and they crossed it hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, it's a very disappointing thing. But also, to me, it doesn't take away from the philosophical merit of all of the stuff that had come prior. So it puts me in kind of a quagmire of my own, because, you know, here I am. I want to think more highly of the person. And at the same point, they're beyond a doubt solidifying the fact that not only are they human, just like everybody else, but they thrive off of drama all the same. And it's not about pushing forward this great idea. That's just the curtain that's been thrown over to justify this self-serving behavior. And
yeah, I'm very for me personally, and there's not a lot of women out there, you know, that really, at least, you know, I resonate with or hit home for me, them. And this is like the only female that I've ever had that hits that point. And to watch this sort of emotional unraveling, because, you know, I was saying this today to somebody in PM. I was saying, you know, I said, you know, I'm a woman and I know that stuff like this emotionally hurts, but you keep your shit together. just for the sake of keeping your shit together. That's what you do, you know. And I was saying to, you know, I'm not a high school kid. And that's what this feels like to me, is like, you know, high school drama. And it's it puts me in a bit of a quagmire, like you said, too, because, like, philosophically, it doesn't take away from anything that's happened before, you know. And if I had to list off my biggest influences, I would have to say, you know, whoever this anonymous person is. But at the same time, you know, there's another part of me that's starting to actually question, you know, what I've gotten from that, just from the basis of, you know, if you really didn't care, truly didn't care about the internet, like you want to, you know, perpetuate as an idea, you would have just let this go and let this be a friendly parting, which it was initially.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a history of that, and I suppose that I could get into it, but I mean, I don't know that most people know this, but back in 2010, I think sometime in, it must have been August or September, Shugs at that point in time had made a proposal, which, you know, she made the suggestion that the COC at that time teamed up with the Order of Nine Angles. And then when I made the suggestion of actually making real contact, and this is why I find all of this stuff really hilarious. Hold on 1 second. When I started making real requests for real, you know, real contact, real interaction, the next thing that happened was the NIM Chloe sent an email to Avenger Satanist saying, you know, I understand that there's been some discussion about blah, 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 you know, about us teaming up. We don't think this is in our best interest, and we wish you all the best. And then what happened shortly after that, which ironically kind of lined up with Jason and I leaving the COC at that time, and I thought it was because it had lined up, Shug's profile began trolling the COC and poking fun at them, and ever since then, any time Venger opens his mouth in an area where they can reach him, they smack him. So, you know, I vainly thought it was because Jason and I left and they were sticking up for us. And now I'm coming back and wondering if it isn't because of the fact that it didn't work out as a relationship between the two entities, if I can use that term loosely.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, it, like, is that the vibe I get from all of this is that, you know, I don't know, like, who needed who more? Like, if this is how you're acting, you know, who needed who more? Not to mention, you know, as for, you know, and I mean, like, Avenger's done some messed up stuff, you know, I'll grant that, but I also do have to admit that, you know, he's not a stupid guy, you know, and there is something of merit buried in all that, you know, tentacled crap, you know.
Yeah, the problem is that it's only surface deep, and it's actually kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but he stumbles into what he does do right. I mean, you just have to kind of assume that, given the nature of everything else that manifests around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've had my bouts with him, and I've poked fun at him, and now I've got him to a point where he's, you know, constantly trying to call me out, which just cracks me the fuck up, because I'm just over it all anyway. I won't use it for anything more than examples when we're talking about things, and I would most certainly kind of agree with you that he at least has or seems to have some form of intelligence there. It's just, I don't know if he's ever seen a hard day's work. I mean, a real hard day's work.
Well, and that's the thing that I actually get out of Ginger in general is that, I don't know, and I hate to say it because it just sounds so awful, but it's like, you know, he's soft. Like, that's the vibe I get. Like, you know, you're soft. You've never been through anything real. You've never had, you know, really fucked up experiences in your life. Now, you know, I'll grant that you're probably luckier, you know, than people that have, but at the same time, you know, like, you lack a critical view of the world as a result of that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say, you know, we're tired of the unemployment rate and down with tyranny and all of that when you're sitting in a cush comfy chair in some, you know, middle class home in nowhere, Wisconsin. It's difficult to feel the pain of people that are going through rough times that really no doing of their own. It isn't like they fucked up, they failed, they just didn't get it. It's just the game's rigged, the cards are stacked against you.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain level, that's the case. Yeah.
It visibly shows with him, and that's the thing, is that, like, I don't know, like, if he is, it's quite evident that, you know, hasn't been through the stuff that most people have been through. I mean, he was dealt a lucky deck, you know. There's some people who have really, you know, struggled to get everything they've got, and at the same time, you know, still, the cards are always stacked against them.
Right on. So, let me see. All right. I'm looking at things on the internet and thinking to myself at the same time and talking. It's been a really long week. My entire fucking schedule is upside down. I mean, the one thing this term of unemployment has done has afforded me the ability to move back towards my normal nocturnal sleeping schedule, which is something about, you know, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning until 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And so now I'm going to school and I got to fucking get up at 6:30, which... Now, you just kind of roll the clock back that way and figure out how many hours difference that is. That's 3.5, something like that. So it's got me all fucking fucked up. I mean, I literally looked down at my watch at 9:58 and went, oh, shit, I got a show to do tonight.
Oh, no. I'm the same way. Like, if I can, like, yeah, no, that's my schedule. I'll be get up at 10 or 11. You know, go to bed at 3 or 4, but, like, you know, like, and we really get, as a house, we get sort of a, like, we just got back from a winter break. They just went back to school today. So, like, we're back on the old schedule, but it had gotten to where, you know, the kids were staying up quite a bit later, and I was staying up quite a bit later. So, I actually feel you on a small level because I'm actually going through a similar adjustment because, yeah, they just went back to school, which means that we have to get back, you know, getting up early and going to bed early again, which, you know, pretty much nobody in the household is complying with very well. Like, my daughter this morning, I felt so bad for her. She started crying when I told her it was time to get up. Like, she just sat in bed and was just sitting there crying hysterically. I was like, I have to go to school. I'm sorry.
Right on. So, anyway, but I have managed every morning so far to get my ass up on time, be awake, be there at least 15 minutes early, and I'm kicking some ass. I'm going to get this done as quick as I fucking can. Then from there, I've got means of producing income so long as people want tattoo work done. And by income, I don't necessarily mean always money. It can be in trade, it can be in favor, it can be whatever. You know, it just changes the whole deal entirely.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good thing. I'm really excited to see how this goes for you, because I think that this is a very, very good direction for you to go in. I know that you're a bit of a tattoo enthusiast, so it makes perfect sense for you to go into, you know, and on top of it, you're not just doing the, you said pretty pictures on people, but the additional stuff too, which is actually really becoming huge and catching on. It's just not as popular as the more, you know, getting a pretty, you know, picture put on you yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that are cool about the whole idea. I mean, I'm very familiar with the widespread amount of different occult symbolism, and so it'd be easier to tattoo that kind of thing. We create variants of them. That's one thing I'm looking forward to. There's a lot of a lot of people that wouldn't put the same kind of care into that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, no, exactly. There's a I need to go. Like, I've been shopping around. I'm fixing to go get my first one done. My first one ever. My first tattoo ever. And I'm, you know, I was going to get an interpretation of the symbol thing that Interrogus Daryl made for me that I was kicking around with on the internet. But I've decided to change it up. And honestly, the biggest reception I've got is kind of a... it's quite obvious just from the look on the person's face when I'm showing them what I want that, like, not only do they not understand what it is, but that, like, they could give two shits if it turns out exactly right. And, like, whenever I get that vibe, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the next place because this is my first one and I'm not going to have to turn around and have a cover-up afterwards.
Right on. Right on. So, yeah, I mean, I would agree with that entirely. Anyway, I'm thinking about it. I did see a really cool thing that I didn't know existed. I've known that they have laser tattoo removals. I've also known that it has been proven that when that's done, that area of your skin is now changed forever. It breaks the pigmentation down on such a microscopic level that you end up with a very base-colored patch. There's not freckles. There's not, you know, blemishes. It's just white. And so that's always been one of those things that I was like, well, fuck. It's painful, and it doesn't even look that good. And you're going to end up putting a tattoo over it again anyway. But I found out they now have a technique where they use a tattoo gun and a special solution, and they actually tattoo out your tattoo.
Oh, wow. See, that's the kind of stuff that needs to happen there. I mean, like, you know, my sister went through laser removal because her dumbass she's been married once, and the guy she married, she literally got the tattoo, and they were divorced within 6 months of getting married. Yeah, no, she had that done, and yeah, no, it's this weird little white patch because she just got his name laser removed and kept the rest of the tattoo, so she just has this weird little white patch above a tattoo that's right below it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've seen people who've had that laser removal, and it's just ridiculous. And you might as well just have pumped your skin full of whiteout.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. No, there's my ex-boyfriend, he didn't have that done. He had a cover-up done. But I'll be honest with you, like, the first tattoo was really bad. He was like 19 and he got really drunk with a friend of his that tattooed stuff, and the guy tattooed an eagle on him, but it looked like a chicken.
Yeah,
like a kid drew a chicken. Yeah, well, he got that covered up with a bigger piece, which is a horse and a woman and something. It was, except that was also a bad tattoo. So he actually wound up getting a third cover up to cover up the cover up. And, like, it's actually why I've never gotten one. It's like watching him, like, you know, go through this. It's just like, you know, damn, you know, it's not a doodle. It has to look right.
When I was running the showroom down in Fort Myers, I had this wannabe gangster Cuban kid working for me. I called the kid Cubert because he had this big fucking nose like the cartoon character Cubert. Anyway, he went to get a lion with a crown tattooed on him. You know, I guess that's a big gang sign down here. And he came back with a tattoo that looked like, what the hell was his name? The Lion King's father. What the fuck was his name?
Oh, Lord, the Lion King's father. Okay. I can see it.
It was, instead of looking like a real lion, it looked cartoonish. It looked like a kitty with a mane.
Oh man, yeah, no, that's the thing, is that, like, that's what makes me nervous about getting one, is that, you know, like, I want to know that whoever does it is actually going to put some thought into it, because I don't want something that looks stupid. You know, like, there's so many tattoo disasters out there.
I mean, you're an asshat for not checking a guy's portfolio before you do it, and it's always good to, like, show up when he's doing a tattoo. You know, like, book your appointment a couple of weeks out and show up randomly a couple of times wanting to talk about your tattoo that's coming up. And then, you know, it's hopefully you catch him tattooing and you witness the work that he's doing. You take a look at it because, you know, it's not going to change. He's not going to magically get better when it goes onto your skin. And I think that's where most people go through, is they don't, like, stop to check somebody's work. It's like anything else. You check the references.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah. No, Mufasa. You have to.
Doug Fool just commented in the chat room. It's Mufasa.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, I was like, I know the lion's name was Simba. That's as far as I got. I was like, I don't remember the rest. And I should, because my kids really like The Lion King. So that makes me a bad, bad mommy for not knowing that.
It cracked me up. I guess it was supposed to be some kind of gang symbol. This kid, man, he'd shit himself if you said boo to him without him expecting it. And he'd walk up behind him and go, boo, and he'd shit himself. But we were bad. I mean, it's a good thing I'm getting any tattoos. I did some really horrible things as a manager. I used to convince my employees that didn't like each other to put boxing gloves on so I could film them fighting. And I would purposely pick two that didn't like each other so it was a damn good fight.
I like that.
I could never. What's that?
I was going to say, I had a manager one time who, his thing to do was, like, and this when I was a waitress, his thing to do, like, when we'd been slammed all day, like, you know, like, we doubled sales and, you know, like, everything was epic and, like, we're all patting each other on the back and feeling good because the shift went well. But he would walk in the back and dump all the trash cans out. And if he found any unopened jellies or ketchups or anything, so you're supposed to save those, we had to pick it up with our hands.
Right.
And I remember it because, like, well, no, he'd do it. And, yeah, he always found one. But what was funny is that he would sit back, lean back against the wall, and just laugh as he watched just pick the garbage up. And what was funny was that one time I staged this whole little protest where I was like, Joe, I'm not picking it up. You can kiss my ass. I'm not a slave. Because I was like,
right,
I know he's just amused watching little peons pick up garbage off the floor with their hands.
We did all kinds of bad shit. I mean, I talked them into eating tadpoles one time. There were like six of them in a tadpole eating contest. One guy actually put 23 of them down, and he did it for an hour extra on the clock. Yeah, I mean, mean stuff. We used to stand up on top of the building and hold a 5-gallon bucket of water when they were getting ready to go home for the night. So they'd start walking out, and they'd be, good night, everybody. Hey, has anybody seen TC? We're out of here. And then all of a sudden, there's just water pouring down in front of them.
We used to do that at a gas station I worked at. We used to have these water wars. I was a shift manager, too, and I used to get in trouble because, like, I started the whole thing, which was, like, we would hide behind the corner because at the employee parking was right. You had to turn a corner at the gas station to get to it. So, yeah, no, I would stand there with a bucket and just throw it at people of water. And this, yeah, man, I used to get in so much trouble. Like, my boss, I remember that, because she was like, I did it to, like, her, I don't know, I think it was, like, her brother-in-law or something. She was so mad at me. Yeah, she was like, she kept saying, she was like, I should write you up. And I would write you up if I wasn't looking at the security tape and seeing how funny this actually was when it happened.
Yeah, but see, this kind of shit's funny to us. Other people take it seriously. I've got to say that I am the only Phantom Fireworks store manager that has ever had every single showroom that he worked at shot up. I've come to work several times with bullet holes in the building. I've had to call the police and make police reports for it. One time they even took and etched in the pavement that they were going to kill me. I had to actually get that filled. And most people think it's funny, but every once in a while you just catch somebody right, and man, the ass hurt seeps forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a few of those. It's always funny, like, when somebody somebody takes something so personally. You know, and it becomes, like, their life mission to take you down. Like, I remember when I was, like, 19 or 20, I had this, it's actually, the story's so funny because what happened was this. I was with my ex, and we were all drunk in my living room, and she said that she wanted to sleep with my boyfriend. And my boyfriend responded with, well, I don't want to sleep with you. Well, her boyfriend drunkenly said, well, I'd sleep with Jeanette. Well, this made her decide that, like, I was her mortal enemy forever and ever and ever. And, like, we were both hired at the same place. What was funny was that she actually, like, set out and managed to succeed in framing me with stealing. Like, I mean, like, she was stealing, like, products. She was stealing money. She was a manager that was over me. So, like, yeah, no, like, I got busted for stealing and fired, literally. And, like, I hadn't stolen anything. That's what really pissed me off about it, was that, like, I hadn't stolen anything. Well, like, I don't know, maybe 3 days go by. And, like, I know what the whole thing's about, which is what was so funny about it. I get a call from the guy that owns the stores, which is that they caught her stealing because they installed a security camera in the office and they busted her, like, working on her next person, who, when they started, like, and it's a small town, so they started, like, asking her on the phone. Now what they found out was that her boyfriend did sleep with this new cashier that she had decided to take out next.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's not the best one that ever happened. The best one that ever happened was we had this, and this is actually funny because this woman's name, like, literally birth name, was Candy. Like, I don't know who names their child that, but that's just, you know, slating your child for a lifetime of disaster, in my opinion. It's actually a when I was a stripper, I actually went by the name Candy because of this woman, because she looked at me one day, and I was overweight at the time, and she looked at me and she said, my sister-in-law lost a bunch of weight. Do you want to know how? And I was like, sure, how? And she looked at me and she said, she put Epicac syrup in her sweet tea so that every time she drank it, she wouldn't feel like eating. And I was like, but doesn't that make you throw up? And her response was, but she lost like 70 pounds.
Right. I can also tell you from personal experience that two drops of Visine in somebody's drink will help them lose 5 pounds quickly.
Oh, yeah. No, I've done that before, too.
when you're awake, you become evil
with people's food.
Yeah, I mean, that's... You didn't even know the level of ridiculousness. Matt's in the chat room asking, you know, what I did to piss these people off, that they're shooting up my stores. But the truth is, I kind of demasculated them. I didn't quite mean to, but I got a real playful personality. And when you start getting testosterone pumping in me from throwing boxes, it just gets aggressive, too, in itself. So, you know, silly little things. Like, there was this one guy that thought he was slick and would make himself a little fort out of boxes and just pile up these 100-pound boxes all around him and then lay down and go to sleep in it, you know, thinking I wouldn't be able to find him and he could get paid. And, you know, when I found that, I just kind of pushed the stack of boxes over on top of him and woke him up roughly. Rubber band wars were my favorite. You can really terrorize some people with rubber bands. You really can. I mean, you want to see something funny? Shoot a grown man in the nads with a fucking stretched rubber band when he's carrying a box. It's something else.
My great-grandfather used to do that. Oh, man, he used to hate, like, I mean, like, he even did it when we were kids. Like, I can remember that. Like, he did that to everybody. That's what he did. Is he would take pages out of the TV guide and ball them up and then sit and wait. And he'd either hit you with a rubber band or little baby pieces of the TV guide. This is actually, like, his favorite activity until he died. No, man, that hurts. That hurts so bad.
Yeah, it can be painful. If you do it just right, you can draw blood. So,
oh, yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we only got a few seconds left here. So I'm going to say good night, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right. Have a good night.
All right.